Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We are glad that you're here. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for, I think, as long as they've been Christians. The Lord be with you. Thank you. We like to begin with that because it reminds us that God meets us right where we live, right here, right now, with whatever you've got going on. Maybe like me, you had to run home and clean up a dog mess before church started. Or maybe you have other things going on that are more stressful or less stressful. Maybe you're walking in full of joy. Maybe you're walking in full of hurt. We all walk in carrying different things with us. And the God who made us and loves us meets us right here in the middle of all of it. I am so thankful for that. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray as we begin. Thank you, God. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you that with all that we have going on in our lives and in our world, all those things that sometimes seem to bury us, God, you are here. You meet us right in the midst of all of that. Today, God, I pray that you would help us to be open to you, to be open to your grace, to be open to your voice, to be open to your love, to be open to you doing something in our hearts and in our minds, in our lives that will give us a fresh hope, that will give us maybe a fresh glimpse of the beauty of the world that you have placed us in and the beauty of your Spirit at work in our lives. Thank you, God. Thank you for this time, for this hour that we get to focus our hearts, our minds on you. Use everything that we do this morning. Use the songs and the prayers and the scriptures and the table. Use all of it, God, to help us to have this very real connection with you. Thank you, God. We pray this with hearts full of confidence because of the love you've shown us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I think we're ready to sing. Missy's feeling better, and she's here, and she's ready. So let's stand, and let's sing.
And thank you to the team last week. But yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better, as you can hear. We're going to sing a little bit lower. And actually, the very first song is one that we're going to actually teach you. It repeats a lot. But I'm just also so thankful that Lucas is back drumming, so I let him pick a few. You got to give the drummer some sometimes. So.
Those who trust in the Lord are a strong mountain. They will not be moved.
We'll repeat that.
Those who trust in the Lord are a strong mountain. They will not be moved. Though the world moves like mad, you alone are faithful. Jesus in the Lord are as Mount Zion. They will not be moved. Though the world moves like mad, you alone are faithful. You alone. Jesus, you will not be changed. Though the world moves like mad, you alone are faithful. You alone are faithful. Jesus, you will not be changed.
All right, pop quiz, all the verses.
Those who trust in the Lord are a strong mountain. They will not be moved.
Christ the King
sets my feet on a firm foundation that will not be moved.
Those who trust
in the Lord
Amen. We'll repeat that some more another week, too. Good job. And yeah, I don't have a lot of things. So I think I was just sick. So watch out for the just sick, because it's no fun.
Worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out Your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause He hung up on that cross and He rose up from that grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. Forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. Won't be quiet. We shout out Your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out Your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out Your praise. Oh, oh, oh. We shout out Your praise. Oh, oh, oh.
I dug way in your archives for this one, so. Hopefully some people remember it. This is also a drummer request.
Jesus, let Your kingdom come here. Let Your will be done here in us. Jesus, there is no one greater. Strong to say in Your mighty name. it for your glory. We cry, Jesus, set our hearts toward you, that every eye would see you lifted high. Last one. King of heaven, come down. King of heaven, come now. Let your glory
Amen. Amen. I invite you all to pray with me, if you would. Lord, we are so thankful that you are the God who is shining the light in all of the darkness that we see around us. Lord, sometimes it's hard to see your light in some places. Man, some days it's harder than others even. But Lord, you are the light that shines among us. Lord, help us to be the light, the lamp on a hill. This little light of mine, Lord, is what I think of. We can't cover it. Satan can't blow it out. Lord, help us to be a reflection of you in the world around us. We thank you, Father, that all of the stuff that's happening in life, everything that's going on, the challenges that we're facing in our personal lives and our families, Lord, the challenges that we're facing at work, or in our communities, in our jobs, Father, that you are in those challenges. You are in those circumstances, in every situation. Lord, the things that are happening around us, we have no control over. And yet we know that we can trust that you are bringing your kingdom to this earth. Lord, help us to know how to cooperate with your Spirit in bringing your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I thank you for each and every person that's with us this morning in this place and joining us online. I thank you for each life they represent, each family, Lord, each point of reference for who you are, Lord, in this, the influences that they have around them. I pray, Lord, that our influence would reflect you more than anything. I thank you, Father, for this church, for these people, and what they represent in this community. Lord, that they represent you and who you are. Help us, Lord, to better reflect you every day, to look and act and be more and more like you, Lord, in a world that needs to know you. Oh, Lord, our world needs to know you. Be with Pastor Rich this morning as he brings the word that you've laid on his heart to us. We know it's a good word because it's come from you. So, Lord, may we hear it and receive it and be obedient to whatever it is you have to say to us through it. Again, we thank you. We praise you. We give you honor and glory, Lord, because you alone are worthy. And we pray these things in your precious name, your mighty name, your holy name. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also you.
Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
Just a quick note to those of you who are joining us online. Hello. We're glad that you're here. My name is Rich. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're glad that you're with us. My apologies for the funky camera stuff that was going on during that first song. And thank you to those of you who texted me or left comments saying something ain't right. I think we fixed it. Hopefully it's all working. But since you didn't get to just shake our hands and stuff just now, I would love it if you would drop a comment in there and just say good morning or peace or whatever you'd like to say to let us know you're with us, because we appreciate you joining us for worship today. And for all of us in the room, any of us could do this, but especially those of you online, if you'd like to communicate something to us, some way we can pray for you, thank God with you, answer a question for you, you just want to give us feedback about whatever, you can go to livinghope.info/connect. There's a little digital connect card there. Or for those of you in the room, there's a little silver table back here with stuff on top. And one of the things on top are these little green cards. You can jot your note on there and drop it in that offering box. And then that way we can see that tomorrow and get back with you if you have a question or something like that, or pray for you if there's asking for prayer. And if you're giving today, you can drop that in the box as well, or you can give online. It's all good. However that works for you, we are so grateful to those of you who give faithfully. Some of you give monthly, some every other week, some, you know, as it lines up with paychecks, some of you give every Sunday, some of you give when you can, and that's good too. I appreciate the online thing where we can go on. For years, we would try to bring a checkbook every Sunday, and inevitably we would end up forgetting, and then we're like, do we have to catch up for 1 week, 2 weeks, how many did we miss? And it was a mess. So I'm so thankful now we can just go online and we can just have it once a month. It just automatically happens. Or however you'd like to do that, it's all good. But that's how this happens. That's how ministry happens here on Sundays and throughout the week, is because of all of us pitching in. So thank you for doing that. Oh, some quick announcements that are on the back. Hopefully you got one of these. If not, I see a couple more back there. There's more out in the lobby. But on the back there, I wanted to mention that Living Hope 101, we haven't done one of these in a little while. We're going to do one next month, Sunday, October 19th. If you want to know more about the church, if you're like, well, I've been here for a few Sundays, I like what I see Sunday, but what are these guys really about? What do you believe? How are you different from other churches? That kind of thing. We'd love to buy you lunch and talk with you about that on Sunday, October 19th. Just let us know you plan to be there so we know how much food to prepare, and we'd love to see you. Wednesdays, there's a couple things that happen during the week, and we don't mention it very often, but Wednesday night there's a discussion group for anybody from 6 to 7. Sometimes we're bringing questions we have after Sunday morning where I didn't do a very good job, and people have more questions and want to ask them because I didn't explain it well Sunday or whatever. Or sometimes it's just life has thrown something your way, and you need to bounce it off some people, and you need to hear what they think and what God says about it, what the Bible says about it. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, it's a little small group that meets Wednesday nights. And the youth group meets Wednesday nights as well. And they have all kinds of fun when the weather's nice. They're walking down the street to Tower Park. Although, yeah, Tower Park is still good. It's just the playground side that's all jacked up. The rest of it is fine. Yeah. Looking forward to the Valpo Parks does a good job of updating the parks and keeping things nice. So anyway, if you have questions about that, Romeo's your guy you want to talk to. I do need to mention, too, that we put it out on the sign. No food truck right now, sorry, because it's getting work done, and we think it'll be back in like October 1st, we're hoping. All right, so not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday after, you'll be able to show up again for lunch and support the work that Community Change Center does with people coming out of incarceration, and you can follow them on Facebook to get updates on where else they might be during the week. So, I think that's it for announcements that I need to make today. Could we, before we dive into the message, I would love it if we could just pause for a second. I'm going to pray. If you want to close your eyes, that's great. Whatever helps you to to kind of shift gears here. Thank you, God. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of the good work you're doing in the world. And thank you that you continue to meet us and speak to us through songs, through scripture, by your Holy Spirit. Today, God, I pray that you would help us to hear whatever it is that you want to say to us. Highlight some passage of scripture that we look at and tell us that this is what we need to focus on. Use something, some random thought that floats through our head that might not be related to anything I say. But God, you do your work. Speak and help us to listen, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We've got some notes there for where we're going this morning. When Jesus was asked, what is the most important of all the commandments? And there were hundreds of them. He was a good Jewish man of his time, and they knew there were 600-something commands in the Torah. And he was asked, which one's most important? And this was his answer. He replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. With everything you are, love God. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus said, when he was asked about what is it that God most wants us to do, he said, love God and love your neighbors. And he said, these two things are connected. You can't do one without the other. We pray it every Sunday. After this message, I'm going to pray, and then we're all going to pray the Lord's Prayer together, which right in the middle of it says, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's that reminder that my relationship with God is connected to my relationship with the people around me. It can be tempting sometimes, I know, because people are tough. People disappoint you. People frustrate you. We're surrounded by idiots, right? I mean, that's just how it works. We never think it's us. I'm not the idiot. It's everybody around me, right? That's how we feel sometimes. And it can be so frustrating. And it's tempting sometimes to just say, okay, forget about all those people. It's just me and God. I'm just going to have my relationship with Jesus. I tried connecting with churches. That didn't work. I tried connecting with people. That didn't work. It's just me and you, Jesus. We're going to make it through together. And God says, that's not how it goes, that we need each other, that this relationship with him is intimately connected with our relationships with each other. Our mission for 25 years, we just celebrated our 25th birthday last week, and we've been saying this for 25 years, that what we're about here is connecting with God, with each other, and with a world that needs God's love. We talked about connecting with God last week and how beautiful that is. It's amazing to think that God would love us so much that he'd send his son Jesus to die for us and rise again to conquer sin and death for me, for you, that my sins could be washed away, that I could have new life. It's an amazing thing. Now, listen to what the Apostle Paul says about this in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. In other words, he decided ahead of time to change us from the inside out because he loves us. We don't start out holy. We don't start out without fault. He's like, I'm going to have some work to do in you, but I'm going to do it because he loves us. And then it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That speaks to his amazing love for us as a father. Just like last week, we're looking at that story from Luke 15 about the father with the two sons and the one that wandered off and the one that stayed home, but both of them missing the relationship with their father that he wanted to have with them. And God sees us like that, and he comes to us and embraces us and welcomes us. He brings us to himself through Jesus Christ and adopts us into his own family. That speaks to his love for us, and it also is a reminder that we're not only children, right? We got lots of brothers and sisters in this room, around our community, around the world. Millions of brothers and sisters in this family of God that we have been adopted into. If we are loved by God, if we are open to that love and receive that love and that grace, what God does is he adopts us into a family of folks, many of whom we might not have chosen if we were picking our own family, right? Because we're all oddballs. We're all different. And sometimes we rub each other the wrong way. Some of you have already been rubbed the wrong way by me this morning, calling us idiots and stuff like that. You know, some of you already are like, oh, I don't like this. Okay, see, we rub each other the wrong way sometimes, but we're family. Another way of looking at it. This is Peter, one of Jesus' 12, in one of his letters we have in the New Testament. He says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. He's saying these are like community terms, right? He's not saying you as an individual are a holy nation. He's saying you as a people changed by God, claimed by God, special to God. You're a holy nation, chosen people, royal priesthood. It says once you were not a people. You were just wandering out there. But now you are the people of God. Once you'd not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. It says we have been brought into this people, into this nation, into this family. Or if you get to the very last book of the Bible in Revelation, they're singing to the Lamb on the throne, the Lamb of God, Jesus. And they say, you are worthy because you were slain and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. See, we're talking about the church. We're talking about the people of God. We're talking about people whose lives have been changed by Christ, filled with his Holy Spirit, being welcomed in as, you know, the messes that we are. And God goes through this sometimes lengthy process of, you know, cleaning us up as we cooperate with him. But he grabs us from all over the place. Jesus did this with his disciples, right? He had people who were dead set against the Romans, in fact, were trying to violently overthrow the Romans, and he had a tax collector who was cooperating with the Romans, collecting taxes for the Romans. That would be like today, you know, Jesus calling like a diehard MAGA Republican, and I don't know, what's on the left? I don't know if there's labels to put on progressive, you know, somebody who, like, you know, people who have very different bumper stickers on the back of their car, right? And Jesus is saying, come on, you guys are family now, right? He's saying, you guys are going to learn to love each other because you're loved by me. People from every culture. This transcends national loyalties. It definitely transcends politics, which seems like one of those things that pulls us apart these days, here in America at least. This was highlighted for all of us with the terrible murder of Charlie Kirk and the responses that we saw to that and the aftermath of that, right? The different ways different people responded. Man, it highlighted for me how we really do sometimes live in very different worlds. We can talk to somebody and we think we're on the same page, we live in the same town, maybe you live in the same house, but man, our algorithms are very different, what they show us. The echo chambers that we live in and where we get our news and where we hear about things. Some people view Charlie Kirk as an angel, some as a demon, because we hear different things about him and see a different side of the human being that he was. And it makes it really tough for us to talk to each other. It makes it really tough for us to love each other because the chasm seems just far too wide. But here's what God does. He connects us. He brings us together in Jesus Christ. It's like God's arms are big enough to wrap around all of us and bring us all into this embrace, into this new nation, this new kingdom, this new people. Or as the Apostle Paul says to the Romans, we're many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. If you hear the church called the body of Christ, that's where he's going with this. He said, we are united with Christ, and we are the body of Christ. We're all different, just like a body has lots of different members, lots of different parts to it. And they're all different. They all have a different function. And in fact, in his letter to the Corinthians, he says, yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye could never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. I can get around and just find myself. I'll just roll or something. You know, I mean, the different parts of the body, and we need each other. Now, I know that for some of you, this is difficult because of your past experiences, maybe recent past experiences, with people who just hurt you. You know, you tried to be open to other people, and it brought nothing but pain, it seemed. This idea that we belong to each other, that we need each other, it doesn't mean that anything goes. You know, far from it. You know, he doesn't say this, but just like the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, right? Like, if a finger on the hand is poking the eye over and over again, the eye can say, hey, cut that out, right? Hey, quit that. That hurts. And if one part of the body is hurting another part of the body, there's definitely room for like setting some healthy boundaries and saying, whoa, 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 this is not healthy, this is not good, all right? So today I'm encouraging you to be open to other people, to realize that this relationship with God isn't just me and Jesus. It's a personal relationship that you have with Jesus, but it's not a private one. It's one that involves the rest of the body of Christ, that involves your brothers and sisters. We really do need each other. And so my hope is that just like we're encouraging you to connect with God and showing you how you can do that through a relationship with Jesus Christ, that also you can discover how to connect with others. Some of you do this beautifully. We're all different, okay? I'm reminded of that every single Sunday, where we do that little greeting each other time and pass the peace, whatever you want to call it, where you shake hands. And some of you, that is like your favorite part of the morning. You love that. You're like, you're just waiting to get through the songs and get through the prayers. You're like, oh, I'm going to shake some hands. I'm going to meet some people. I'm going to talk. And, you know, you love interacting with people. And others of you, as soon as Pastor Judy's wrapping up that prayer and starting to say, peace of the Lord be with you, you're already making your way over toward the coffee or the bathroom or someplace where no one's going to mess with you because you don't want to shake a hand. You don't want to interact with a bunch of people. It's not what you came here for, and it just gives you the willies just thinking about it, right? We're all different. We're all different. And that's fine. I'm not asking you to become just like the person next to you, okay? But what the Bible says is that we need each other. There's no getting around to that. There's no room for it just to be like a solo Christian in the Bible. That just doesn't work. There's a whole bunch of things that Jesus wants us to do that you just can't do otherwise. Look, I gave you a list there in your notes. This is just a very short, partial list of the things that the Bible says we need each other for and that we're to do for each other. I'm not going to read all the references, but the Bible says we need to love each other, to be devoted to each other, to honor each other, accept each other. We need to serve each other in love, be kind to each other, tender-hearted toward each other, to submit to each other, to bear with each other and forgive each other, to encourage each other, build each other up, to spur each other on toward love and good deeds, to sympathize with each other. And the list goes on and on and on and on. The Bible is full of these each other's or one another commands that say, this is what you're to do as part of the people of God. This is how you're to live together. He shows us, the Bible shows us, God shows us through his word, through the testimony of these early believers who were looking at these early Christians and realizing, you guys really are different from each other. How on earth are you going to get along? How on earth are you guys going to show the watching world like what God can do with a human being and what God can do with a human community? Well, here, you need to make sure you're forgiving each other. You need to make sure that you're encouraging each other. You need to make sure that you're... And they go on and on, trying to help us to know how to live together. Because the folks that were receiving these letters, receiving these words 2,000 years ago, were very different. You know, they were all over the map as well. And they struggled with it some. You can read about that in the book of Acts. You can read about how they struggled to mesh together these people from so many different religious and cultural backgrounds into one body, into one people. It hasn't always been easy, and so we shouldn't be surprised if it's not easy for us, but man, we need it. I just finally watched a documentary last night that I'd been hearing about. There's a podcast I listened to, and the main guy on that had mentioned it like three or four times in the last year, and I thought, oh man, one of these days I got it. So I look up last night, where is it? Oh, it's on Netflix. I have Netflix. I can watch this. It's called Join or Die is the name of the documentary. So you can look it up later if you want. And it's mostly about this professor named Robert Putnam, who wrote a book many years ago called Bowling Alone. Maybe you've heard about it. It was looking at kind of our society and how people used to really be belongers. You know, we used to join clubs and belong to groups and organizations, and we associated together, and that's been on a decline for the last few decades. We don't join up as much. We might bowl, but we bowl alone instead of as part of a league or on a team, as kind of the idea behind the book. And one thing that gets mentioned in this, part of it is focused on like democracy and American democracy and how American democracy can be saved if we have a greater civic participation. But there's a part of it, there's a statistic from a study that I thought, man, that's surprising. That it said, if you do join a group, if this year you join a group, and you're all here, you're sitting in church, I'm preaching to the choir kind of, you know, you've shown up, you're thinking like, yeah, I like being part of a church, part of a group. If you do that, you have a 50% less, you're 50% less likely to die in the following year if you join a group. Isn't that wild? I mean, this was something that they studied, and like they had to try to figure out, well, how do we measure this, the benefits of this? They said, well, how likely are you to die within a year? You know, mortality is something we can measure pretty easily, and 50%. I mean, think of all the things that we do to try to extend our lives or make ourselves healthy, the struggles we have with diet and exercise and all of that. Just joining a group of whatever variety. I'm a big fan of the church, you know. But being a part of a church like this, being part of a club, being part of an association, it makes you healthier, makes you live longer because you have people around you who care about you, who do all these things that we were just reading. Now, some groups might do that better than others. Ideally, the church should be great at it, right? We should be really wonderful at encouraging and helping and lifting each other up. It's something that we need because we were created for it. We were created for community, and we miss out so much when we don't have it. Do you have a question? Okay. Hey, you already have. Go ahead. What's up, Lynn?
So Thursday, I got some really devastating news to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tuesdays and Thursdays, I go to the social club.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to sell off our building.
Oh, okay.
And I've been going there 3rd year.
Wow. And this is painful for you because you've seen the value of this club, this connection that you have, the social club.
When you said that,
I'm yeah.
I have to say something because it's right here.
Yeah. I don't know if you can all hear that. I'm going to try to repeat this for the folks who couldn't hear, and the folks online who definitely couldn't hear you. But Lynn was talking about this social club that she goes to here in town every Tuesday and Thursday for 30 years, you said? And that they're thinking of they're working on selling the building now, and that makes you wonder, like, what's going to happen to this club? And these connections are important to her. You know, it's something that has sustained you through all kinds of ups and downs and difficulties. And yeah, that's what being connected to other people does for us. Yeah. Well, I hope that club finds a different place to meet if that building gets sold. So, yeah. This is not easy for us to do. Some of you, again, we're all wired differently. Some of you, it's like, oh yeah, I make friends easy. Okay, do those friends really know you? Like, how well do they know? How open are you? Are they able to, like, do these each other things for you? Are you doing that for them? Some of you, it's much more of a struggle because, again, we're all different. But we were created for it. We see that right in the beginning of the Bible, too. I mean, when we're created for community, God says it's not good for the guy to be alone and creates a second, right? And then, as soon as we sin, disobey God, eat the fruit from the tree you're not supposed to eat from, all of a sudden, Adam and Eve are covering themselves up, hiding from each other, hiding from God, blaming each other, you know. Did you eat that fruit? She gave it to me. Really? It was a snake. You know, we're just, all of a sudden, we're at odds with each other. And that's what sin does for us. A sinful, selfish way of life ends up isolating us, ends up keeping other people at what feels to us a safe distance. But there's nothing safe about trying to go it alone. That's a dangerous way to try to live. But we do it over and over and over again. There's a beautiful story in the Bible. Last week, I know we looked at Luke 15. I was saying it was one of the classics, you know, the story of the dad with the two lost sons. And to me, this is another classic, although I don't think it's nearly as well known. It's in Luke chapter 11. It says, one day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came, carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? I think the implication is it's easy to say your sins are forgiven because nobody knows if that really happened or not. But if you say get up and walk, it's real clear if somebody can get up and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home, praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. I love this story because it makes it so clear that we need each other. I mean, this guy needed to be healed and needed his sins forgiven, and he could not get himself to Jesus. He needed those friends to carry him there. He needed them to risk, you know, whatever they were risking, risk disapproval, risk arrest. I don't know what they might have been risking by tearing up somebody's roof and lowering him down in front of Jesus, but Jesus saw their faith. Didn't say he saw the man's faith. He's just lying there on a mat. He saw the faith of these friends who were willing to go to such extremes to get their friend to Jesus. And because of his friends, his sins were healed. His sins were forgiven. His body was healed. His life was changed. Do we have people like that in our lives? Or are we trying to do this in a way that leaves us perhaps just stuck? Because we don't have anyone we can turn to and say, can you help? Are we willing to go out of our way for others? Are we willing to be the one carrying? Are we willing to be the one carried? Are we willing to be the one who serves? Are we willing to allow others to serve us? Both of those can be challenging in different ways. I think of that story and I think, man, who do I want to be in that story? I don't want to be the religious leaders, and I am a religious leader, so I always have to think about them, right? I don't want to be one of those religious leaders that's like, you know, making it difficult for people. It kind of, you could read the story a couple different ways. You could read the story, it sounds almost like there were these religious folks were the ones that were all gathered around Jesus, and they were the ones that were unwilling to, like, when the guys are coming and saying, like, hey, we got to get our friend to Jesus, and they're like, shove off, man, forget it, we were here first, right? I don't want to be one of those people making it difficult for people to get to Jesus. I don't want to be one of those who is looking at what God is wanting to do in a person's life and is like, what's that? I don't really want to be the guy paralyzed on the mat, but if I'm honest, sometimes that's me. Sometimes I can't, my own faith isn't enough, and I need the faith of my friends. Sometimes I'm not able to get myself to Jesus. Mentally, emotionally, whatever, because I've been hit so hard by life that I just need someone else to believe for me for a bit. I don't want to be that guy, but sometimes I am. I'd like to think I would be those friends who are willing to go out of their way to get someone to Jesus, but if I'm going to be honest, there's a whole lot of times when I have the opportunity to do that, but let it pass me by. It's challenging to open our lives up to other people, to make room in our schedules, to make room in our hearts, to allow other people, to depend on people and to be let down by people. It's difficult, but we need it. We need each other. We were created for it. And our relationship with God even depends on it. And so I want to encourage you to look for some people. Maybe you can find those people here. Maybe you're going to find them in some other area of your life. We are not the only Christians in Valparaiso here at Living Hope Community Church, obviously. And you can huddle up with other believers in any way that you find that works, okay? Maybe you show up on Wednesday night and you find some people here. Maybe you can't do Wednesday night, but you'd love to meet a couple other folks, and so you're going to write on a card or send us a little note and say, hey, I need some other people to connect with, but I'm not sure who or how. And we'll plug you into some other people who are hungry for connection. Maybe it's just going to mean you taking a step and texting somebody. Hopefully not right this second, but maybe, okay, before you forget. Texting somebody and saying, hey, we've drifted apart a bit. I miss the connection that we had. Can we get together for coffee, for lunch? Can we get together sometime soon? We were created for relationships with each other. And if we're going to be a part of the out, that's next week, right? We talked about the up last week, the in this week, and the out next week. We're going to be a part of God's mission in the world. Man, we're going to need God's Holy Spirit empowering us, and we're going to need to do this together. Because doing that work, being a part of what God is doing in the world, while it's fun and exciting and it's a good thing and it brings us joy, it can also wear us out, knock us down. And we need people around us who are going to say, hey, don't give up, man. That was a good attempt. You're going to try it again next week. Hey, why don't we do this together next time? Please, don't try going it alone. If you've been doing that, I don't blame you. It's a very natural thing. But maybe today is the day that you decide, okay, I don't know how, but I'm committed. I'm going to connect. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. God, we need your help in this. Because you know our natural tendency is to kind of keep each other at a safe distance. Especially, God, when we've been hurt in the past, it's hard for us to open up again. Please, God, would you help us to develop some friendships with some fellow believers, some other people who are walking this same journey with us of trying to follow you, Jesus, trying to live the life you created us for. By the power of your Holy Spirit, God, you surround us with brothers and sisters to help us. Some who are further along in the journey who can encourage us on, and we can learn from what they've done. Some who are coming up behind us, and we can turn around and we can help them over some of those hurdles that you've helped us to already get over. God, would you help us to be open to some of the people you've placed in our lives already? Help us, God, not to wait for someone else to reach out to us, but would you help us today to take the initiative to say, okay, you're right, God. This is something I need in my life. I've been neglecting it. I've been ignoring it. God, we're asking for your help, that you would guide us to the right people, you'd give us the right way to reach out, and that you'd help us to do it. To not just think about it as a good idea or something we need to get to someday, but would you help us to do it? Thank you, God. Thank you for the brothers and sisters you've given us here and around the world, that we get to be part of this family, this nation, this people of God, embraced by you, adopted by you. We have so much to learn from each other. Thank you, God. Thank you that today we get to celebrate together with Christians around the world this sacrament of Holy Communion. We offer to you these gifts of bread and juice. And we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, when you were with your disciples, you took bread and broke it and gave it to them and said, this is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. You took the cup and gave it to them and said, this is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This seals the new agreement, the new covenant between God and humanity. Jesus, we are so grateful that out of love for us, you gave everything. You held nothing back. You entered into our brokenness, took on our sin and even our death, so that by your death and resurrection, you could break the power of sin and death and the devil. You could defeat them all and set us free. God, we don't want to be held back by our past failures. We don't want to be slaves to sin any longer. We want to live in this freedom that you have given us. So would you help us today to trust you, to allow you to grab a hold of us and to lift us up out of the mess that we've made, to lift us out of our loneliness, to lift us out of our attempts to do this alone. You have placed us in a family. You've made us part of your people. Help us to live this out, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. We lift our hearts to you in gratitude today, Lord Jesus. We are so grateful for this love that you have shown us. We offer you ourselves, and as we do, we acknowledge that we need your grace. We've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We've not always been open to the people who want to help us or that we could be helping. God, there might be some specific things that we need to confess to you today that your Holy Spirit's been bugging us about. They got nothing to do with this morning's message, but as we think about coming to your table, we think about the love that you've shown us. We realize, boy, that's your Spirit is saying that's something you got to let go of. You got to repent of that one. You got to let me wipe that off your slate for good and not go back to it. Help us, God. Help us today to receive your grace, to accept this love you have for us. Because your word tells us, we confess our sins, you're faithful, you're just, you forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us to experience that freedom and that grace today. Help us to experience the beauty of this love you've shown us, of this family you've invited us into. And thank you, God, for this little foretaste, the Bible calls it, this appetizer of the great banquet we will one day celebrate, the feast at your table, gathered together with believers from every nation and tribe, language, from all over the world. We get to taste that, get a tiny taste of it today. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. We've got like some little pieces of pita bread, or there's some round gluten-free wafers in the basket, or there's some of these little cups, and you could take one of those if you'd like and take it back to your seat. Or we've got those in a basket at the back. Some of you grab them on your way in. That's great. We want to make this open to anybody who is saying yes to Jesus today. Whether you've been following him for years or whether just today you're deciding to follow him, this is open for all of us to experience his grace in a tangible way. Let's celebrate. Let's give thanks.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in so we pour out our praise to you, oh.
Thank you again, God, for the amazing love that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Please, would you fill us with the Spirit of Christ today so that we might be changed from the inside out, so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as your sons and daughters, ready to share with those you send us to the same life and hope and grace and love that you have given to us. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.